Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at two verses of Scripture tonight. I want you to look with me, please, at verses 7 and 8 of Acts chapter 1. And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that as we seek to understand this passage of Scripture, that you would open our hearts. Lord, you have given this commission to every one of us. We have a responsibility to take the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth. We can do that by supporting missionaries who go, but we also can do it through prayer, through giving, and even going ourselves, Lord. We pray, dear Father, that you would help us to understand the truth of being a witness for Christ. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. When you and I were in school, I'm speaking here to the adults or those who have graduated from high school, we learned how to diagram sentences. How many of you remember those days of sitting in English class and diagramming sentences? I can remember sitting in Mrs. Painter's class and diagramming sentences in English and praying for the rapture to come. I was ready to go. And I said, I cannot wait to graduate from high school because I won't have to diagram sentences anymore. I didn't do very well in that. Got to college. Guess what I got to do? I got to diagram sentences in Greek class. Didn't get away from it for 2 years, diagramming sentences in Greek. And I want to do a little bit of that with you tonight. I promise I won't make it boring, though. All right? We're going to make it very simple here because I want you to get the heart of this passage here. So many times the truths of these passages are overlooked as a missions passage. And I want to see if we can hone in on some thoughts here that will help us to think in regard to missions. Now, remember, please, in your days gone by of sentence diagramming, that we're looking for the subject, we're looking for the verb, and we're looking for the object, or there's also the subjective complement. We're going to look at the objects tonight in this particular passage. And I want us to see through basic sentence structure here what the Lord is communicating to the disciples as he is about to ascend from earth up into heaven. Because this is what is recorded here. These were the final words of Jesus Christ to his disciples. They were full of questions. Back over here in verse 6 says, When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? We read in the other Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, that they had several other questions. They asked him three questions specifically right before he ascended back into heaven. And the Lord responded to them in a very unique way. He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons. And then this interesting phrase, which the Father hath put in his own power. So very quickly, just to diagram this thing, the subject is God the Father here. Now in the Greek language, many times the subject doesn't appear at the beginning of the sentence as it does in English. Many times you'll find the subject of a Greek sentence midway through the sentence. Sometimes you'll find the subject of a Greek sentence at the end of the sentence. You have to read the whole sentence, and then you have to say, all right, here's the subject, here's the verb, here's the object. Well, in this passage here, the subject is God the Father. The subject is the Father. The verb is that he empowers, and the object is events in history, times and seasons. Very basic sentence structure. God the Father empowers events in history, times and seasons. Now, the disciples here were asking about specifically an event in future history. They asked him in verse 6, When will you restore again the kingdom to Israel? We want to know when the events of the kingdom are going to take place. In other words, they were wanting to know events in history. And the answer that Jesus gave to them was, The Father empowers events of history. That's important to know. Who are we trusting in this election year concerning the events of history? People are wringing their hands. What are we going to do? I wrote a letter this week. We had several projector letters that came in, folks that had given to the projector, and I wrote one gentleman who gives on a regular basis, and I said, you know, I look at this election year, and I wonder if America is going to get its Saul. You know how the children of Israel said, we want a king like all the other nations. And everyone wants to get along with the other nations around the world. That's a theme that we keep hearing over. Oh, we've got to restore America back to its moral ground where we have all the support of the nations. Sounds so similar to Israel, does it not? We want to be like all the other nations. We want to be just like them. And God gave them their request. They got a Saul. Well, we may get a Saul or a Saulette. I don't know what's going to happen in that regard. But instead of wringing our hands, oh, what are we going to do? Jesus told the disciples who were questioning, when is the kingdom going to come, Lord? What are the signs? When is it going to happen? We want to know. They were concerned about the future. And he says to them, the times and the seasons are in the Father's power. In other words, you don't worry about that. You worry about what I'm going to share with you in just a minute as he progresses through this. That's the first subject, verb, and object. Secondly, I want you to see, notice please in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So here we see the subject here is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the verb is, comes, and then finally the object. Well, who does he come to? Believers. That's understood. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, what does that tell us? These disciples were concerned about what's going to happen in the future. When is the kingdom going to come, Lord? When are all these events going to take place where you come and you establish your kingdom and you rule and reign for 1,000 years and all of the things happen that Israel becomes the prominent nation in the world? Lord says, don't worry about that. The Father empowers the future, events of history. And not only that, He is going to leave a representative with you while I go away. He's about to ascend into heaven, Jesus Christ. I'm going to leave my representative with you. Who is God's representative that is present in our hearts tonight if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? It's the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the quiet one of the Trinity, if you want to put it that way. The Holy Spirit seeks not to bring praise and glory to Himself. He has given a special ministry of exalting Jesus Christ, of magnifying and lifting Him up. And Jesus said to them, I'm going to leave my representative, the Holy Spirit, and He is going to come to you believers. I'm giving you the gift of the third person of the Trinity. He is going to dwell in your heart. He is going to minister to your soul. He is going to give you all the power that you need to live the Christian life. All right? So we have two subjects now, two verbs and two objects. Now let's go on. Here's an understood subject in this passage here. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now here's an understood. Christ, that's the me there, is the subject. He reveals God the Father. Who has he been talking about here? Jesus Christ is revealing the Father in himself. What is the Father going to do? The Father has sent his Son. He ministers to our hearts through his Son in the person of the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ speak of? Well, Jesus told us in John chapter 8, when you see me, you see the Father. You see the Father. And so he has been speaking about the times and seasons, history, the events of history, all in the control of the Father. Jesus Christ reveals God the Father. But then there's another subject line here. Jesus Christ commands his own. What is he saying here? He is saying, ye shall, imperative. You will be witnesses unto me. All right? Christ commands his own. Christ the subject commands the verb and his own is presented in this passage here in the original language. But this brings us to the final thought that I want to spend a few minutes on, and that is, you and I are called to be witnesses. Ye, or you and I, subject, shall be, the verb, His witnesses, the object. Now, this is not something here that is shared to us as a suggestion, but rather it is declared to us as a ministry. What are we doing here? You know, as a teenager, you always face the issues, you know, who am I and what am I doing here? Who am I and what am I doing? I remember struggling in my high school years. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to study in college? I didn't know really what I wanted to do, so I ended up doing two things. I studied for the ministry and I studied music. Both of them have been an integral part of my ministry over the past 21 years. Matter of fact, this coming Sunday will be the end of my 21st year here in this ministry, serving the Lord. I didn't know what to do in high school. I struggled with that. Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord opened the doors. I came to college here for 2 years, got my feet on the ground, got myself established in some understandings and beliefs that would help me, transferred up to Bob Jones, and the Lord just undertook and provided and met needs and put me where He wanted me to go, preparing me for the ministry. You see, folks, we have to be about His business, and then He will take care of ours. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now, this last object, His witnesses, is a key word in the book of Acts. I just did a little study on the word witness, and I want to share that with you tonight. The word witness in the original language is martus. Martus, you've probably heard of the word martyr. That's where this particular word comes from. One who testifies. That's what a martyr does. One who testifies. It occurs 13 times in the book of Acts, and it forms a dominating theme. Throughout the book of Acts, we understand that it's a transition book. There are things happening in the beginning of the book of Acts that aren't happening at the end of the book of Acts. It's a transition book. At the beginning of the book of Acts, you see a primary figure. His name is Peter. When you get to the end of the book of Acts, beginning at chapter 10, and you move on, Peter's name is not mentioned. Where did Peter go? At the beginning of the book of Acts, you see a Jewish element to it. You see the ministry to the circumcision. You see them going to the synagogues. And then when you get to the middle part of the book of Acts, and as you progress on, we find Paul being the minister to the uncircumcision. We find that he meets in the synagogues, and then finally he says, "Lo, I turn to the Gentiles," and he stops meeting in the synagogues, and he starts going and he preaches in the highways and the hedges. Consistent transition taking us from the Gospels to the book of Romans. It is a bridge. It's a transition. But there is something consistent about the word witness in both of these realms. Peter, Paul, circumcision, uncircumcision, Israel, Gentiles. It's quite interesting when I began to study this about this word witness. The word witness or testimony occurs twice in this book, in addition to the 13 times that we see the word witness used, as well as the other words for testify, which are used an additional 10 times. With a total of 25 times, the concept of witness, testify, or testimony is used in the book of Acts. And you know what is interesting? 10 times it's used with Peter. 10 times it's used with Paul. And the other 5 times it's used of the other apostles like Philip. And it's even used of false prophets, their testimony, their thing. What does that tell us? What does that tell us as we go from this transition from Jewish to Gentile, as we go from the ministry of Peter to the ministry of Paul, and we see God working to bridge that gap between the Jewish ministry of the Gospels to the Gentile ministry of the epistles of Paul? We notice that consistent throughout is the responsibility of believers to be a witness for Christ. In this dispensational transition that we see here, one thing stays the same, and that is you and I are witnesses unto Christ. We bear His name in a lost world, and we must not let that escape us. We must not let the fact of all the transition cloud the issue that you and I have a responsibility to witness for Jesus Christ. Now, you and I are testifiers. Our main business is to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and to testify to the great salvation that He has provided. The Lord Jesus came to bear witness of the truth, we're told in John chapter 18 and verse 37. The apostles knew that they were witnesses. Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. Notice, please, I'll read this verse of Scripture to you. You can turn over there with me if you'd like. Chapter 5 and verse 32. Let's read the verses leading up to that. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are His," say that word please, "witnesses of these things." What things? Repentance and forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. Testifying of Christ. That's what the apostles understood and know. The early church went everywhere talking about Jesus Christ. Look over at chapter 8 for just a moment. Acts chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed." Here we see again the Jewish aspect of this, the miracles that were being performed in regard to the nation of Israel. When you get to the end of the book of Acts, you only see one miracle, and that is the provision of God sparing Paul when he is bit by the serpent. You don't find great wonderful acts and miracles that are being performed like they are in the earlier chapters, but what stays consistent? Witness for Christ. Witness for Christ. Folks, in this missions month, I want to get across this important message to us. You and I have a responsibility to be a witness for Christ in our mission field. Do you look at your neighborhood as a mission field? As an opportunity to be a testifier of Jesus Christ and what He has done for you? It's so easy to just take a dollar out of the wallet or out of the purse and put it in the offering plate and say, "Well, I hope that's used by some missionary to further the gospel. Maybe this will pay for a few tracts, or maybe this will do that." And you neglect your mission field. The concept of an evangelist, I believe, in the New Testament is the concept of a missionary. One who goes out and testifies of Jesus Christ. We are going through all the work this year of putting together a mission trip. We want our young people and our adults here that would like to go to have an opportunity to go to Mexico. And there is a great excitement about that and desire to go and be a witness and testimony to those folks that are there and to serve those pastors that are there in Mexico, to encourage them and to teach vacation Bible school and be able to give our testimonies in Spanish and be able to sing hymns in Spanish and be a blessing to those folks. But what are we doing here in Milton? What are we doing in our neighborhood? Does your neighbor know that you're a child of God? I will never forget whenever I moved into the neighborhood over here in Kingswood. I went over next door and I spoke to the neighbor there. We had bought our property from him. And I just sat down and witnessed to him. I didn't know whether he was saved or not. And he gave witness that he was a child of God and that he loved the Lord. And we had many times and opportunities to sit down together. He loved to read his Bible, and he especially loved reading Charles Spurgeon. He had that as a kind of a commentary on the passages that he was reading. And I mentioned to him, I said, has anyone in our neighborhood ever spoken to you about whether you were saved or not? And he said, "Well, I've lived across the street from a man who says he's an evangelist, but he's never walked across the street to speak to me about my soul." Well, that just blew me away. What an indictment. Here's an individual that travels around the world evangelizing, but has never walked across the street to speak to that individual. Now, Mr. Mishu died about 4 years ago and went to be with the Lord. But you know what, folks? It's an awful thing to not reach your own neighborhood. Now, you may not be able to see them all come to Christ, but they ought to be on your prayer list. And every opportunity that you get to speak to them, you need to speak a testimony of Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility. It spans the dispensational transition of the book of Acts. It spans that. Witnesses used of Peter 10 times, of Paul used 10 times. What does that tell us? That you and I have a responsibility. Well, you don't know the neighborhood I live in, Pastor Brainerd. Everybody's saved. Well, that's interesting. Everybody's saved. Well, there may be a few saved folks that are there. But you know what, folks? It's good for you to testify of Christ. It's good for you to get past all your inhibitions. It's good for you to get past your shyness and be a testimony. You say, well, you don't know, I bumble over my words. You know what? I have found over the years that whenever you ask the Lord to give you help in giving witness and testimonies, sometimes you may bumble over a few words or whatever, but if God's in it, it doesn't matter. Amen? Dr. Bob Sr. had this saying, you and God make a majority in any community. That simple principle and concept is being lost in the church today. We think we have to have numbers. But no. You and God make a majority. Think of the witness of Stephen, here recorded in the book of Acts. He was a witness. He was a martyr. That very word martyr, martura, means witness, testifier. He went to his death in a pile of stones, testifying of Jesus Christ. And the witness that he gave penetrated into the heart of a man that was standing there holding the coats. Does anybody remember who that individual was? Paul, who then was Saul, but he became Paul. Because of the testimony of Stephen, the witness. You see, folks, we have a responsibility, whether it be in life or whether it be in death, to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. For folks to be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Now, let me share some final thoughts here. Application. Application of these thoughts. Number one, we must trust the sovereignty of God in the affairs of men and especially governments. We must trust. Turn with me over to the book of Proverbs very quickly, chapter 8. Mr. O'Pager has been dealing with this passage of Scripture in his Sunday school lesson, speaking about wisdom here. Says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Now, wisdom personified is Jesus Christ personified. And we find here that Jesus Christ is in charge of governments. You say, well, how about all these rogue nations that we see? What about them? What about them? Are you saying by that God's lost control of the earth? Oh, no. God is in complete control. He is working His will. He is setting the stage, folks, for the day when Antichrist is revealed. And you and I are snatched out of this earth and taken to be with Him. I am so glad that I don't need to wring my hands and worry about the future. I know that the future is in God's hands. Just as the disciples, as they cried out to Jesus, they know He's about to leave them and He's going to ascend and they're not going to be able to talk to Him anymore in person. That is, in flesh. And the burning question of the hour is, Lord, when are You going to set up Your kingdom? When are You going to govern this earth? And the Lord Jesus Christ says, the Father's in charge of that. The Father's in control of that. He's in control of history, and so don't you worry about it. I've sent my Holy Spirit to you to empower you so that you might be witnesses for me. What's your responsibility? Just keep on being a witness for Christ. You have to trust the sovereignty of God in the affairs of men. That's a tough pill to swallow. We would like to think that we have some role to play, and we do. We have to be light and salt where we live. We have to be a testimony to those around us, but we must also trust the sovereignty of God, knowing that His will be performed on earth even as it is in heaven. Now, secondly, we must depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything that we undertake to do. as we have opportunities to witness to our children and be a testimony to them. Don't talk to them about Jesus if you're not living for Jesus. Don't talk to them about, oh, I want you to be saved, I want you to trust in Jesus Christ, when you're living like the devil. You need to do right by your family, and you need to do right by the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you can be an effective witness for Him. We must depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit. When we're teaching in a classroom, teachers, you cannot teach your subjects effectively if you're not depending upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Your Bible time should be a special time. When the power of the Holy Spirit is manifested in the communication of God's Word, do you go before the Lord and say, Lord, I need the power of the Spirit to be able to communicate your gospel? If you're trying to do it in the flesh, you're not going to see boys and girls come to know Christ as their Savior, because you're going to be doing it in the power of the flesh. And it's the power, the regenerating power of the Spirit, that's manifested in hearts. And then finally, we are to reveal Christ by being faithful witnesses. You know, so many times people get involved in arguments with people, trying to persuade them with arguments about why Christianity is the better way of life. Folks, we're not in the business of trying to persuade people to become Christians because it's a better way of life. You've heard of the four spiritual laws. That was an attempt on that part of trying to persuade people by reasoning that it's a good decision to make to be a Christian. Folks, it's not a good decision. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart, which brings about transformation. And this is the point that the Lord Jesus Christ leaves as He ascends up into heaven. His last words are, ye are My witnesses, both here in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and then that added phrase, His final words, and to the uttermost part of the earth. How do we get the message of the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth? Folks, we have to depend upon the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God touches your heart and says, listen, I want you to give to this particular mission project. I want you to give this particular mission. It didn't have to be one of our churches. Maybe it's a good, solid, fundamental missionary that comes through here, or maybe you have contact with them and they have a special need, and the Holy Spirit begins to impress upon you that you need to give. Are you going to respond to the work of the Holy Spirit, or are you going to turn a deaf ear? If you turn a deaf ear, then the Holy Spirit can't use you effectively as a witness for Christ. We need to be busy here in Milton. We have neighbors that we need to witness to. We have friends and family that we're afraid to witness to, sadly enough. And we ought to have boldness. We ought to have boldness because we represent our Savior Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors of heaven. Our witness is to go to the uttermost part of the earth. We should never lose sight of the fact that this is the Lord's intention. He has told us if we love Him to keep His commandments. We have a command here. Ye are My witnesses unto Me. We can't pass this off on the crowd and say, the church is going to do it. Somebody from the church will do it. No, I need to be involved. How much are you involved as a witness for Christ? We have gospel tracts that are out here in the foyer. You need to have them in your purse, ladies. Men, you need to have them in your pocket, so that whenever you go out and you're at a restaurant or you come in contact with somebody, you can do it. Maybe you need to print up maybe a simple business card that has all the information of your business and has a word of witness on there. Those can be effective. I've received personal checks from individuals that have a testimony on their own check, a gospel message on there. What a way to be able to point and say, listen, I've given you this check, and I know you're interested in the numbers on there, but I want you to read the verse of Scripture that's on there that points to my Savior, Jesus Christ, and maybe we can talk sometime. I want to talk to you about my Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what a testifier does. That's what a witness does. Folks, as we pray and seek the Lord's face about how much we desire to give in this new year, in our faith promises, let's not lose sight of the Milton Mission Field, the Pea Ridge Mission Field, the Baghdad Mission Field. Maybe it's the Crestview Mission Field. Maybe it's the Navarre Mission Field. Wherever you work, Pensacola, your sphere of operation, you have a responsibility, an imperative from Jesus Christ. His final words, "Ye are my witnesses." We have a responsibility to share the gospel with those who are lost. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, this has just been a very simple, simple message from your word. And yet, one of the most profound words that we find in the New Testament scriptures, the word witness, testifier. Lord, forgive us for not being faithful in that regard. We pray that you would encourage us in 2008 to take that opportunity to pull out that gospel tract and hand it to someone we come in contact with, or to stop for a few moments and give a witness of Christ. Lord, we're not responsible for saving people. We're simply responsible to testify of Christ to those that are lost. We can do that because you've left behind your Holy Spirit to empower and strengthen us to be effective witnesses for Christ. And Lord, tonight as we enter into this communion time, it is a time in which we witness of the wonderful crucifixion and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who made it possible for us as lost sinners to be saved, to be transformed, and to be made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Lord, we ought not to be ashamed to share the good news of what Christ has done for us. And Lord, tonight as we celebrate the Lord's table, we want to unabashedly and unashamedly proclaim Jesus Christ as our Savior. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.